Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Well, I'm having fun. I hope you are. I'm the one that gets to look at the scripture and enjoy it more and more. And I'm stuck. I'm stuck in the book of Philippians. I guess there's so much there to relate to, at least in my life, and I'm sure in your life. But there's so many things that the Apostle Paul has given us in the book of Philippians. He's written four good books, but this one here just kind of pulls at my heartstrings. And tonight I want to talk to you about a secret. Now, everybody likes secrets. When I was a kid, I always liked secrets. I wasn't good at keeping secrets, but I sure like secrets. And the Apostle Paul, he lays out a bunch of secrets all the way through the book of Philippians. And I've got several of them that I'm going to release, but I'm not going to release all of them tonight. Excuse me, I'm going to release just one tonight. And the secret that we're going to talk about tonight, because the secret is out, by the way, Paul put them out. They're there. All we have to do is be obedient and look for them. The secret tonight I want to talk about is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, starting 12 and 13. I want to read that scripture, and then I'm going to share with you the secret. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Verse 14, continuing, "Because of my change, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." That's chapter 1. Did you get it? Still with me? Okay. I just want to make sure, you know. I have this habit of sometimes my eye, you know, ever have your eyes go one way and go the other way? Yeah, that's if you have blue eyes, one blue that way and one blue that way, then that's what happens. You have trouble reading. So, looking at this particular portion of the scripture of Philippians, the secret that he's explaining here is the secret of trouble. Do you know Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble"? You know, when I found the Lord, I heard those little rumors out there that all you do is give your heart to Jesus and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's all going to be great. And somebody fooled me. That wasn't quite true. So what I want to talk about for just a moment is, now we know we have trouble because Jesus even said we're going to have trouble, but how do I find victory in the time of trouble? Paul said, "I want you to know." Now, I want you to know. Now, that's a pretty good statement. Brothers, he was talking to those there in the fellowship, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, if you think just a moment about what we're going to proceed with, Paul's stating very clearly, "I want you to know this. You're going to have trouble. But what is going to happen through that trouble, if you allow it, it will advance the gospel." He says, to have victory, you must know what Jesus Christ has done for me, basically, talking to himself, about himself. And so tonight, we're going to pursue that for just a moment. I was reading the story of a guy named John Bunyan. Anybody know John Bunyan? I mean, if you haven't, maybe you're a generation or two away from the Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan was an amazing preacher. He was from the Church of England. And John Bunyan, in the 17th century, would preach so long and so hard and so strong and powerful that the Church of England couldn't take him. They had to silence him. So, when he was preaching, they put him in jail. And in the courtyard, to make matters worse, he began attracting hundreds of citizens just to hear his word. The Bedford area and the surrounding areas were listening to John Bunyan, and they couldn't get away from him. They would crowd around the prison walls, it's been said, in order to hear his daily sermons that he preached to the inmates. The authorities saw that it wasn't just a simple imprisonment that would stop him. It wasn't working. So they incarcerated him deep inside the jail, where no one would have access to his preaching. And yet, in this point of solitary confinement, he did something that was absolutely unbelievable. He began writing a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. It is a great Christian classic. It has ministered the gospel literally to tens of millions of people throughout the world. He ministered for several centuries through that book. It's been said it was the most widely read and translated book in the world after the Bible. And instead of silencing John Bunyan, his opponents provided him with the opportunity to spread his message to the ends of the earth for generations to come. They even got a film on it called Pilgrim's Progress. It continues to go on. Now, you're probably wondering, why would I use John Bunyan? Because from a starting point, I want you to see that essentially what others meant harm for him, God meant for good. You see, through the trouble of that imprisonment, John Bunyan spoke to millions of people. God has always used things intended to destroy his work to advance it instead. You remember Joseph, don't you? Joseph said to your brothers, to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives," according to Genesis 50:20. Think about it for just a moment. In your life, the things that were meant to harm you, how God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, changed things and brought it forth for good. I mean, Mary and I were thinking about a lot of things. You know, when we got saved, there were things that happened time and time again, and sometimes we thought, "Oh, Lord, this isn't going to be good." And after we went through it, we realized what God was trying to accomplish and what he was doing. Talked to a brother of mine. Hopefully he'll be coming to the church. And his name is Dennis Tracy. I was 26 years old. I just found the Lord, and I led Dennis to the Lord through a telephone truck, inside a telephone truck. Who would think anything could be good at that? I mean, I was criticized, mocked, laughed at. Dennis went on, not only after he was saved, he married a gal named Liz. They had 6 kids. They live in this area. He became, and she became, the directors of Child Evangelism Fellowship for over 20, probably 5, 6 years now. Been doing backyard clubs for kids, for churches all over this area. He called me the other day. It was a great conversation. I'm always glad to hear Dennis. I'm always glad because he was one of those guys when I thought, well, just being in a telephone truck isn't that important. God, why'd you put me in a telephone truck to witness to somebody? Well, I guess because I had a captive audience. and gave his heart to Jesus. Thousands and thousands of people have heard the gospel through their ministry. Odd question, he calls me and says, Dave, I've just been thinking, I want to know, can you tell me more about the circus? Well, for those of you that know me or don't know me, when I was 15 and a half, I left home and went to work for the circus, second largest circus in the United States. I walked a tight wire. Can you believe that? Why, that's amazing, isn't it? I can't even get in from the parking lot now. How things change. Had a French poodle act, dressed them all up in little dresses, dyed them on their different colors, and traveled all over the west coast of the world, basically. It was so nice. It was different. I said, why would you ask me about that? And he says, because I just went and saw a movie about the Ringling Brothers. He said, what was it like? I says, well, it was very trying. I never thought God would put me in that situation. But guess what? Good things came out of it. And then years later, I was thinking that when I was completely down and out, and thank you for the song, Jim. Hey, Shirley, thank you. God bless you. When I think about Jesus, you know, when I was at a point in my life where Jesus was all I had left to go to and I went to, and God started moving us around, I mean, he moved us around. Just had built a new home, had a good job, and God all of a sudden says, I'm going to send you down to Indiana, work for a contractor in a little home that has mice running all over the place. I thought, man, Lord, I thought you said this was supposed to be a good transition. I ask forgiveness, right? Then you do your part, and everything gets hunky-dory. Didn't happen that way. It took a whole year. And then in a little town, two people who loved God gave us a Bible and shared the good news of the gospel with us, and we got saved. Now I'm repeating that only because it's such a miraculous thing. You see, I didn't see how anything was coming that was good when I knelt and in my mind in that little motel room prayed, God, I need your help. If you're there, if you even exist, I just need some help. And a whole year went by, and the year was all trouble. And I thought, well, God, this was supposed to, I'm asking for help here, and it's getting worse. And then all of a sudden, God, in his miraculous way, what the devil was trying to destroy, God began to advance it. You know that. Think about it for just a moment. Pharaoh, you remember him, he tried to destroy the Israelites, tried to destroy the babies, but instead ended up raising Moses. What a change. You would think that he would have got them all, but he didn't. He got Moses, who delivered his people through the Exodus. Oh, yeah, there's another guy named Daniel. You remember him? He had some enemies. We talked about him for a while. They tried to keep him out of the picture by throwing him in the lion's den. Think about it. You know what the outcome was? It made a believer out of the king. Wow. God, you're really working. I mean, the enemies of Paul in this passage and on through the Philippians tried to silence him by throwing him in prison. Instead, they gave him time and opportunity to write the four books, the four gospels, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. There's a good outcome. You see, trouble is Satan's tool or ploy to destroy your joy. You know, we've had some services here that I have to tell you something, folks. I am blessed by the old camp meetings. And the reason is because they remind me of the joy of the Lord. They remind me of those times when the thing that the devil tries to steal from you was real, and the joy of the Lord lifted you up and gave you hope and encouragement to move on another day. And sometimes, you know what I mean, when the joy of the Lord is on you, it takes away all the trouble for the moment, and then the trouble seems to come back because the enemy wants to destroy it. And what you see as trouble God sees it differently. As a matter of fact, God wants to fan the trouble so that his plan will be created and accomplished. It's his ploy, Satan's, but God doesn't see it that way. Now just think for just a moment what Paul did in the scripture. In the scripture, Paul was put into chains. And as a result of him being in chains, it became clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone where it says, he says, I am in chains for Christ, Philippians 1:13. So Paul is put into chains. He's put into chains for Christ's sake, and you would think all of a sudden that's not going to be a good outcome. How can anything come out of that trouble? It's got to be the worst. You probably said about some of your troubles. How is God ever going to work through these things? I can't see an end to it. In Acts 28:20, we are told that Paul was bound, the scripture says, with this chain. You see, the Greek word translated chain literally means a short chain. See, if you look at the scriptures, what's happening here is a short chain was used to bind the wrist of the prisoner to the wrist of the guard. Now, just like Dennis and I were in the telephone truck, Paul's really got it now. He's got a short chain on him, but it's chained to the guard, which, by the way, the guard would change every 4 hours in different segments, 4 hours, month after month, year after year. Either that guard would become a Christian, it's said by Josephus, or they would be begging to be released from Paul at the end of the four-hour tour. Wow, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and God had a purpose for him. But even more than that, there is something, historically speaking, that you may not know of. But there was the guards that were called the Praetorian Guards. They were a strong, influential body. They became known as the King Makers because their nominee became emperor every time. And by Tertullian's day, at the end of the second century, the Roman government had a big problem. They discovered that there were many Christians holding positions of authority, and by 313, Rome was so filled with Christians that the Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which granted complete religious freedom. It all started with Paul chained to one member after another of the most influential group in the city of Rome. Satan uses trouble as the ploy to steal your joy. Has he been stealing your joy lately? Has life been stealing your joy? Has your joy been crowded out by the things of this world? Has the seed fallen on the wrong soil? Have you decided that it's not worth it because my joy is constantly being taken away? Well, cheer up, Christian, because God's about ready to fan a flame so big and bright that your joy is going to be made complete and you'll rejoice. Do you know that's happening around the world today? It really is. Christians, children of God, open your eyes. See what's going on. People in foreign countries and remote places are coming to Jesus. They're rushing to Jesus. God has taken what has appeared to be trouble and he's turning it into something good. So Paul, in this particular passage, says, now I know, want you to know, brothers, that what has happened has really served in advance of the gospel. There's a lot of other secrets in the scriptures, but I want to tell you that one of the ones we shared last week was finding the secret of contentment. Did you know that Jesus wants you to be content in all things? And the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians sets before us a whole bunch of events that may appear to be secret, but if you read the scripture and go through it, you'll find out that they're not that secret. He said, do everything, according to 2 Philippians 4 and 15, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Are you shining? Are you a star? You are in Christ. Because God is going to bring your shining star to a world that is full of darkness and pain. But how do we shine in a dark world? Paul gives us secret number two, and then I'm going to conclude. Tonight I'm going to be brief. I haven't brought a watch with me. Oh, good, I'm doing good. Darn watch, you know. This one don't have a calendar on it, though. So don't forget the day. Here's what he says in Philippians 2:14. I'm going to read it for you so that you have some kind of answer by leaving here. I'll read 12. Now I'll read 14. He says, do everything. He didn't say just a few things. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless, pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Think about it. We are living in a crooked, depraved generation. But God says, I've got a plan. It's not the plan to take away your joy, but to bring joy in that generation so that you can shine like stars in the universe. And the way that we shine, and I know there's been many sermons written on this passage, but I'm going to give you a little distinction here. The way that we shine, according to the Apostle Paul, is in Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and arguing. In Exodus 16, the scripture tells us that the people were hungry, and so the whole community grumbled against Moses. And in Exodus 16:9, a verse says that God actually hears it as grumbling against him. You see, when you grumble and argue in the Christian realm, you're actually grumbling and arguing against God, because God's got the plan, he knows what he's doing, and he's doing it. And he's using you and he's using me to get it done. And so stop grumbling. Stop complaining when it sounds like it's the worst thing in the world that can happen to you and it looks like the biggest trouble you're ever going to be in. Begin praising. Start thanking God for his plan that he's working out in his way according to his will. Do everything without complaining. And then in that verse, he has heard you grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, 16:9, but against the Lord. So if I sound a little crazy on Sunday morning when I get the opportunity and I say, praise the Lord, it's because I really mean it. Because no matter what the trouble is that's going on in my life and your life, God is working all things together for our good. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we had an old thing years ago, and that was an attitude check. And the attitude check was, praise the Lord. You say, attitude check, praise the Lord. Why? Because my grumbling and my complaining is putting doubt on my Heavenly Father that what he says he will do. The difference is he's doing it in his timing, in his plan, according to his will, not mine. So, if you go away from tonight and take anything with you, take the idea that God has prepared a way to overcome trouble. You overcome trouble by praising God. You give thanks in all things, for his ways are not our ways. They're way above our ways. God knows so much more about what's going on. You see, God brings forgiveness. He brings grace. He brings mercy. He brings healing. The God of the universe, who created us in his image, in his likeness, is on our side. Would you stand tonight, please? As I read the scripture, I realized as I went through the book, and I'm picking up parts of what Paul's done, that the ultimate cost of grumbling and complaining, or grumbling and arguing for the people of Israel, was more than you'd want to bear. You see, the ultimate cost for the people of Israel was this: one out of one of them, according to Numbers, died in the wilderness. I don't want us to die in the wilderness, do you? We want to be stars that are shining for Jesus. Father, as we come together tonight, as we look at your word and we read the Apostle Paul's words, one who, Lord, was somebody that had power and prestige and was important, one who could have declared his citizenship as a Roman, suffered in jail for the sake of the gospel because it was your plan. Now, Lord, someone who's going through trouble tonight, let them see that you're working your plan through them. But you're not doing it so that we can be more of this world. But you're doing it so that others may come to know the liberating salvation of Jesus Christ for an eternal home. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now you got to shake somebody's hand, and you got to give somebody a hug, and you got to say, praise the Lord. And you got to believe. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the Red Brick Church in the Valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.